Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. From today's gospel according to St. Mark, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear brothers and sisters, today marks a week since the Most Blessed Virgin Mary invited each and every single one of us, you and I, to walk with her down to Bethlehem and to prepare ourselves for the birth of Christ our Lord. Now, many of you, many of us, we deal with daily things that are very difficult for us. Many of us are dealing with a family feud, or you're nursing a grudge, worried about some resentment, or countless other types of worries because the daily life is constantly on the go. And because of our fallen natures, we're constantly being beaten up by the things that occur around our side. But 1 week ago, Holy Mother Church is inviting us to prepare ourselves for Christmas. That's 3.5 weeks to sort of forfeit these worries, even though we're not going to drop them completely because we're responsible people. We want to deal with our problems. But to place them in second place, believe it or not. And Holy Mother Church wants us to focus our attention on that event that at the end of our lives will mean absolutely everything for us. The coming of God Himself in the flesh. And mind you, something that should occupy our attention even now in our lives, not just waiting for the last day of our lives. The importance of preparing ourselves for Christmas. It's a joyful, yet a semi-penitential season. And so therefore, in these 3.5 weeks, which we're already 1 week in, we should try to learn and try to examine ourselves and try to study and pray and do extra things of virtue in order to prepare the way for Christ to be born in our hearts. There's a three-step program in every Advent as we prepare. The first thing that we should do is to learn humility. The Blessed Virgin teaches us humility. As we go about our lives and we're trying to study, we're trying to examine ourselves, going deep. To learn humility, because the humbler we are, the more God can fill us with His presence, show us His blessings, and even, yes, even to perform miracles for our eyes to see and our hearts to experience. Humility is so important for the Christian. There's the great interpretation we can study, Saint Benedict. He comes up with the 12 degrees of humility. But for brevity's sake, I like Saint Ignatius Loyola. He was the great founder of the Jesuits. And he came up with the 3 degrees of humility. First of all, what is humility? As Saint Teresa of Avila says, humility is the truth. And I would say the unvarnished truth. Truth about God, our relationship with God, the truth about others, the truth about things, and the truth about ourselves. And since we're mortals, since we're sinners, since we've only been in this cosmos for only, if we're lucky, 82 years at most, or maybe a little more for some, then that means I don't know everything. I'm not the sum of all the wisdom on the earth. And therefore, I must lower myself, self-effacement. I deserve the woes many times that life affords me. I accept them willingly, uncomplainingly. That corresponds to the creature, the fallen creature. We are nothing but dust and ashes. And yet, we think we can go around prancing around, claiming all of our so-called rights and our so-called demands. But in the eyes of God, all we are is just a bundle of dirt. Didn't Genesis tell us that? Now, obviously, we possess the dignity, but God has given us everything of good within us. Our creation, especially our divine sonship. So that's humility. Now, St. Ignatius of Loyola, go back to him. He speaks about 3 degrees of humility. The first degree of humility is to prefer to die than to commit one single mortal sin. And of which he said, the great founder of the Jesuits, he said, without which we cannot be saved. We cannot be saved. This is the minimal level of divine charity in our souls, to obey his holy commandments. And then he says the second degree of humility is to prefer death than to commit one single deliberate venial sin. And then he said the third degree, and by which in this time he recommends we get on our knees and we ask the Lord if he's going to choose us for this third level of humility, which will bring tremendous blessings upon the soul like a torrent. But only if the Lord finds us worthy, and only if he grants it to us. And the third level of humility is this: to have a persuasive preference in our hearts, to identify ourselves with Christ, who was loaded with insults, humiliations, contradictions, and all kinds of crosses and all kinds of sufferings for my eternal salvation. This is the fruit of the deepest of prayers and corresponds to our true nature about ourselves. So, not to prefer, in this logic, when God grants this grace, not to prefer riches to poverty, not to prefer honors to dishonors, not to prefer health to sickness, whatever the good Lord sends me for his greater glory, right? The Jesuits, the greater glory, ad maiorem gloriam Dei, right? The motto of the Jesuits, right? The blue jay is across the river, right? For the greater glory of Almighty God. If God would ever choose us for that. So this is what the Christmas grace is all about, to learn with love the ways of God, which are not the ways of man, according to the scriptures. The second step of this Advent is to be loved. When Christ is born in Bethlehem, it's not just a question of us swigging on eggnog. No. It's a question of experiencing the love of Christ in the crib that is born for us in utter poverty, detachment from all things, purity itself, the epitome of all obedience. He who had all of the stars of heavens as creator and the upper left-hand corner of his pinky, managing all the stars with a yawn. And now he's like a mummy, bound with those swaddling clothes that a virgin of 13 years of age now bounds him. He cannot move his arms. Totally and utterly defenseless. Now we can accompany our Christmas with a little bit of eggnog. I'll be the first one there in line. But my dear brethren, give me my Christ over any Santa Claus any day. Give me my Christ. Jesus, who took my flesh upon himself. As St. Paul says, I have known him who I have believed. Yes, my dear friends. And this is why we're going to have a week of missions in this parish. Not because this priest from West Wego is going to be able to give you some sort of an idea. Nothing, believe me. But Holy Mother Church grants parochial missions. So that we as a community, because we can't all go out into the desert to do retreats, so Holy Mother Church allows the retreat to come into the parish, and you receive tremendous graces. We're going to have little booklets in the back that will have a deep examination of conscience. I recommend that we examine our consciences and thoroughly and go to confession perhaps this week, to go to the priest and confess our sins. Remember, dogmatically proclaimed by Holy Mother Church in the Council of Trent, that we must confess all of our mortal sins in number and kind. And it's not enough to go to general absolution in ordinary times. And it's not enough to go to your bedroom to tell Jesus all your sins. You must go before a priest, John chapter 20. When our Lord Christ himself, on the evening of the resurrection, breathed upon his apostles, the first priests of his church, those sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Those you retain, in other words, those you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. Straight from the words of Christ himself. So it's going to be a great week up until Wednesday night to come deep and to understand ourselves, to humble ourselves before God through these reflections and through these considerations and through your own prayer. It'll be tremendous. And I give you one practical tip for this Advent. I would invite all of us to read the prophet Isaiah, the book of the prophet Isaiah. What a tremendous preparation, a hopeful preparation for the coming of Christ, especially the one that we read today in Mass of chapter 40. Read it, meditate on it, think of it. Try to apply it to your lives. Right there in chapter 40, verse, I think it's 4, that we read today at Mass. The prophet Isaiah says, every mountain shall be leveled, and every valley shall be filled. This is the preparation of what's going to come if we're prepared. If the Lord finds us prepared. In other words, it's a symbol of destroying within us pride. That arrogance, self-love, independence, do whatever we want. Who cares what the church teaches? This sort of attitude that we know all the things and I can do my own thing. If we humble ourselves on midnight Mass when we come to midnight mass, working hard, humbling ourselves, those mountains will be blasted away. The Lord will show us the beauty of Christian humility. He will show us his love in an extreme way. But it hurts. Remember our Lord Jesus, what he said in the Holy Gospel. Remember, he says, those who humble themselves shall be exalted. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled. No matter how modern we get, no matter how much things are changing all over the place, politically, churchly, everything, family, those words will never be able to be erased from the very lips of Christ. But he also says, every valley shall be filled. What does that mean? Let your talents shine. Don't be afraid. But also it means we have to be a standalone sometimes, even though all the sons and all the daughters of Adam go a deviated way, I, as an individual, must remain faithful to God. And I may stand alone. So let us not practice that false humility. There is something that exists, it's called false humility. Oh, I don't want to rock the boat. Oh, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Oh, I just want to be one of us. Oh, I don't want people to think bad of me, so I'm just going to go along. Even though we throw the commandments of God out the window. What type of humility is that? That's a hidden pride. The prophet Isaiah saying, fill every valley. Don't give in to human respect. For example, sports. I used to love sports, especially as a kid. I was very passionate about sports. You know, especially the LSU Tigers. You know, I was a great fan, you know. And I remember back in 82, November 1982, remember that they had the Mud Bowl over there in Baton Rouge? And LSU lost. Can you imagine they were going to the Orange Bowl against Nebraska, right? Jerry Stovall was going to bring those Tigers over there. And here comes Tulane, you know, yawning and stuff. And Tulane gave him a whooping. You know? I cried for 1 week. You know? At least I'm humble. I admit the truth, right? That year they got the best of us, right? Now, nowadays, I don't have time to keep up with sports, right? We must fill those valleys. Father, I can't go to Mass on Sunday. Why? My son has a tournament. What? Are you going to cast your pearls before swine? You're going to forego the most holy sacrifice of the Mass? When Christ is hoisted up on the gibbet of the cross, shedding every drop of his blood, and letting that blood splash all over the ground, because thou art not present. What insanity is this? And to teach your child to commit mortal sin is a grave scandal. By which our Lord said, woe to those where comes scandal. They shall come. But to those from which they come, woe to them. It is better to have a millstone wrapped around their neck and thrown into the sea. Yes, our Lord approved capital punishment right there. These are serious things. So fill every valley. So we're all weak. We're all sinners. But in Christ, our Lord reveals himself to us. All changes. We don't have to be prodded by a stick into heaven. We run joyfully. Listen what it says in chapter 40 of Isaiah. He continues at the end of the chapter. Listen to this. But they that hope, listen to me, but they who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall take wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you remember Elias the prophet, or as you say in the modern Bibles, Elijah? The prophet Elias, when Jezebel was coming after him because he killed all the false prophets, he was exhausted and he fell underneath a tree and he wanted to die. Lord, take my life. I no longer belong here in this world. And the angel placed some bread and he ate. And then he claimed again, I must die. Gave him another piece of bread from heaven. He received the bread. And he was so energized. He was able to walk 40 days and 40 nights to the mount. As we continue the holy sacrifice of the Mass, those who are well confessed in a state of grace will be able to come and receive the most august of sacraments, the most sacred heart of Jesus, the physical flesh of God made man. As we cling to the altar rail, let us beg our beloved Lord, Lord, may the mountains of my pride be blasted away. Only thou canst do it and fill all these infinite valleys that I have compromised with the world. Lord, not my will be done, but thine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.